from the scene and leave you senseless as they reel you through the years revolving door. Said pen, paper, fill the light to write your heart out and let it to your person, pure and fine. It was a time when you had apples in your mind. I can dream that we'd had world enough and time to spend our days with hearts and fingers all entwined. It's mid-December and there's apples in my mind. I wonder if you've still got apples in your mind.
Know why you listen to this station. It plays new music, supports your community, and provides up-to-date news that you know you can trust. And unlike other stations, the people who work and volunteer here are a part of your community. Remember though, they do this on a shoestring budget. The solution is the Community Radio Initiative. You can find out more details at mycri.ca. In just a few clicks, you can generate an email to send to the politicians who need to hear your message. mycri.ca.
And welcome back to Intravenous. You've been tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, broadcasting from the unceded Coast Salish territories. And before the break, we did just hear the tracks 10 Senses, followed by Apples, both off the album Lucky Teeth by Salt Horse. Next up, I have an interview that I wanted to share last week, but I ended up running out of time. And now I do have the time to share my conversation that I had with Kagan Go, who is a Vancouver-based Chinese-Canadian multidisciplinary artist whose work spans memoir, poetry, playwriting, filmmaking, and mental health advocacy. We chatted about his work being a featured author at the 14th Annual Litter Asian Festival, as well as a lot of the former work that he's done. So let's take a listen. This is Nicole Hines with CJSF 90.1 FM, and I'm here with Kagan Go. He is a Vancouver-based Chinese-Canadian multidisciplinary artist whose work spans memoir, poetry, playwriting, filmmaking, and mental health advocacy. He is also a featured author at the 14th Annual Litter Asian Festival. Kagan, how are you? Thank you so much for joining me.
I'm doing very well. Nice to meet you, Nicole.
Yes, same, same. I would love for you to share with myself and listeners what your journey has been to becoming an author.
My father is a Singapore literary pioneer, Gopo Singh. He was a poet, novelist, and playwright. He wrote the first Singapore novel, the first Singaporean play that used Singlish. He was chairman of the National Theatre Trust, brought the Bolshoi Ballet, Duke Ellington, Ravi Shankar, and David Bowie to Singapore.
Wow.
Just the tip of the iceberg. So my family is completely made out of artists.
Wow.
My mother is a visual artist. She's a painter, Margaret Joyce Wong. My brother Kasan is a novelist, short story writer, and poet, and architect. My brother Kajin is a graphic designer, painter, visual artist, and filmmaker, and poet. My youngest brother is a visual artist and who works in many different mediums, 2D, 3D mediums. And so we were steeped in the arts from the very beginning, which is a bit of an anomaly for a Chinese family, much less a Chinese Singaporean family, where the usual sanctioned and approved professions like banking, law, architecture, business, we took a different route, let's put it that way. And our parents nurtured and encouraged our dreams and aspirations in the arts. I was told by a school principal in the second year of high school, we had given the choice to go into science, arts, or technology. And the smartest kids were supposed to go into the sciences. And I was in the top class of the school. Mm-hmm. And I chose to go into the arts. And
yes.
She warned me, if you go into the arts, you'll become a road sweeper.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And look at you now.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. That's I just want to, before I get into the next question, I love the fact that your parents encouraged the arts. You know, as a parent myself, I wanted to encourage all aspects. I know sometimes immigrant parents love to focus on certain areas, but I think the arts are so, so, so important and so important for society.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest. So I just want to, you know, commend your parents for that. Now I want to get a little bit more deeper into your writing. Can you share like your mission for writing?
Well, I've been writing all my life. I mean, sometimes it's a bit daunting living within a shadow, within a shadow, within a shadow of a shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Before three other brothers and my parents, all who are writers. But I found my own voice after I was diagnosed with bipolar mood disorder, which I prefer to call manic depression,
mm-hmm.
In 1993, at the age of 23.
Okay.
And as a form of self-therapy, I started to chronicle my lived experience.
Okay.
I didn't think it had any literary merit. I didn't think anybody would listen or care about my crazy stories. They're so bizarre and outlandish.
Right.
And I was taken under the wing of the spoken word slam community in Vancouver.
Nice.
And nurtured and mentored by my compatriots. And they saw something in me, and I began to do a spoken word about my lived experience of my mental health journey.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a lot of courage because I had to break the silence and taboo of the subject of mental illness. Up to that point, I had faced a lot of stigma, prejudice, and discrimination.
Right.
As a person with lived experience of mental illness. And it was really healing and therapeutic for me to come out into the public.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, even though I didn't always score high in poetry slams, I wasn't really into the competition. But usually out of a crowd of, let's say, 60 to 100 people at the poetry slam at Café du Soleil back in the day, one or two people come up to me and says, "You know, your story is my story. You know, Now, I live with schizophrenia, bipolar, depression, anxiety disorder, PTSD. And half the time I would sell them, or half the time I would give out my chat books to them for free. And most of those people became lifelong friends. And one of my friends, a neighbor of mine, Steve Carey, in reviewing my book, my memoir, Surviving Samsara, said that it could potentially be a lifesaver for people with lived experience, almost like a roadmap of how to navigate the mental health system, the psychiatric system, the welfare system, and learn the ropes through the protagonist. And it's not that I went out of the way to make it a how-to manual, but through the trials and tribulations, and trials and errors of the protagonist, myself, my own lived experience. I had one person, my barber, his name is Muhammad Jassim, read the book and dragged his best friend Ali Fadel to the Chapters Indigo and said, "You have to buy this book." And Ali said, "I've never read a book out of my own volition in my life." We sat down, read the book in one sitting. And he said the book changes life in terms of, one of the messages, not that I try to be pedantic or preachy, but one of the things in the book I talk about is not just advocating for yourself, but to make your health your first and most important priority. And then doors will open. What was once impossible becomes possible. And he took that to heart. And he got back on his meds. He saw a psychiatrist again after having felt normal because he was on the meds. He felt he didn't need it anymore. He kind
That's
of
usually.
crashed, downward spiraled, and was stabilized again. And he said, "A book saved my life." So, and that's just one person, and I've heard many other people come up to me and say something similar,
You have been a writer for many, many years. Can you talk a little bit about some of your literary works?
Well, my first book was called, actually, Surviving Samsara is not my debut memoir. It is my follow-up memoir. My first memoir was called Who Let in the Sky? And it's a poetic memoir about my relationship with my father, who struggled with Parkinson's disease for 15 years until his untimely death in 2010. And it chronicles our relationship and a father, mother, and son making up almost like a trio, a trinity of weary warriors, unmovable, unshakable, and strong like a pyramid. And it's basically a story about unconditional love and the changing of the guard where, my parents were my caregivers and took care of me. And then eventually, towards the end of their life, I became their caregivers. So it's, the individuation of the child into adulthood, rites of passage. And second book that was published, Surviving Samsara by Caitlin Press in 2021, is called A Memoir of Breakdowns, Breakthroughs in Mental Illness, was shortlisted for the Singapore Literature Prize, which is a full circle moment because my father won the Singapore Literature Prize for his first and second novel. So, following in his footsteps, and he was my mentor. So that's my second book, which we're going to be talking about at the Literary Asian Festival 2026. The Courage to Write, Courage to Heal on June 27th, 2:30 to 3:30 at the Chinese Cultural Center. And I have two other books coming out this year. One by Silver Bow Publishing called Piñata de Amor, or the English translation is Piñata of Love, and it's a memoir novel, work of creative nonfiction about my misadventures in artist colony in Mexico called San Miguel de Allende.
Wow.
To me, it's a true story where I fell in love with a woman who was the girlfriend of the town's most notorious playboy.
Wow.
And one day she said to me, after I took her to a young child's birthday party who was hitting a piñata, says, "Promise me something." I said, "Anything, the moon." She said, "Promise me one day you'll get me a piñata." I said, "With you, I will always keep my promises." And for the next 3 days, I gathered all these gifts, and it became a larger-than-life quest to fulfill the destiny of the wishes of a destined soulmate. Or perceived it was a kind of a hypomanic and manic infatuation, falling in love with the notion of being loved. But it ended up in being in a 5-year-long, larger than life love affair.
Okay.
So that's my second book coming out with Silver Bow Publishing this year. And early next year, I have a book called Nothing is Forged Without Fire, which is my collection of poetry, partly page poetry, partly spoken word poetry, spanning 30 years of work.
I love to hear that. My next question for you is, what does it feel like to be a featured author at the Literation Festival? I mean, this is in the 14th year. What does that feel like for you?
It feels like a homecoming because one of my most important mentors, besides my father, was Jim Wong Chu, the founder of the Literation Festival, Rice Paper Magazine, the Asian Canadian Writers Workshop. And he was like a surrogate father figure. And he kind of took me under the wing and he said, gave me some of the greatest advice in my life. He said, "Young artists oftentimes are so hungry and eager to get something from someone, whether it's a collaboration, money, a deal, or whatever." He says, "Put the relationship first, nurture the relationship, not for any other ulterior motive, and the business will take care of itself." And
Absolutely.
I've always done that ever since, and it's been a game changer,
What advice would you have for somebody who is new, regardless of their stage in life?
I think finding one's voice is a lifelong journey, and to be authentic and true to yourself, a certain integrity and honesty, and a passion and a love for what you do, Writing can be a very solitary and very lonely process. It's just you and the page. I usually write by hand first because it's closer to the heart, and then I transcribe it to the computer or keyboard or typewriter. And one of the things that my father practiced, he was not just an author, a Singapore literary pioneer, he was a doctor, a businessman, an entrepreneur. He wore many hats, and and a husband and a father of four rambunctious sons. And what he would do every day, no matter how busy he was, is he would write at least one good page a day. And he said, "If I write two or three, that's bonus. But if I just do one good page a day, in 365, he wouldn't miss a day. He would spend 1 or 2 hours out of his busy, busy day, 1 or 2 hours typing or writing by hand, and he would produce one good page a day, and ended up writing, I think, close to 10 to 12 books, maybe 5 books of poetry and 4 novels, in his lifetime. So, if productivity in small measures. If you can just, even if you write a poem a day, on one page or a page and a half, in 365 days you've got a collected works, and you can also pare down and take out the weaker elements and curate the work so you put out your strongest work,
Absolutely. You mentioned that you've got two more books upcoming. Is there anything else that's next for you?
Well, I have my wheelhouse is not just to write books, but to adapt them into films.
Oh.
One of my films, which is called an award-winning 7-minute and 26-second film called The Day My Cat Saved My Life, which is one of the stories in Surviving Samsara,
Okay.
started off as a slam poem. And I remember writing the poem, and after I wrote the poem, I burst out in tears because it was so cathartic. And I still have the page where the tears are smearing and running
Wow.
the ink of the pen, you know. And I created a short 7-minute film through grants and stuff like that, and acted in it, and hired a small crew of 3 or 4 people and made the short film about a psychotic episode I experienced where I was hallucinating, hearing the city mocking me, you know, get a job, get a job, construction work, and the building of this house that became the model house of the 21st century. And it's basically about suicidal ideation and how I was li literally, figuratively, and metaphorically saved by my cat. And it's a true story, and I recreated it using montage, editing, cinematography, visual effects, and sound design. And it won about 10 to 12 awards for best short film when it came out.
Wow.
And
Congratulations.
my latest film is called Common Law, which is a family drama that portrays a Chinese Canadian family struggling to come to terms with their son's recent bipolar mood disorder diagnosis and the devastating impact this incurable illness has on their lives. Their son, Mi Kagan, a charismatic young poet, is finding his voice as an artist when a bipolar diagnosis disrupts his dreams of becoming a writer. Kagan's life-altering diagnosis upends his life, straining his relationship with his girlfriend Daniela and his parents. He faces societal stigma and the daunting process of applying for disability benefits. Kagan is faced with the stark reality of what it means to be human in a world not built for disabled people like him. So both films are autobiographical, and Common Law won the Ovation Award for Best Actor for Berlin Liu, who is an Australian-born actor who played me in the film. And it's such a phenomenal performance because he went from hypomania, mania, psychosis to depression all within 26 minutes and 30 seconds. And he just completely committed, and he's my lead man for all my films from now onwards. And what I've done with Common Law, it's a proof of concept pilot episode for a 12-part episodic dramatic limited TV series called A Delicate Imbalance, which is based on not just Surviving Samsara, but Who Let in the Sky. And the log line is very brief. A young Chinese Canadian poet transforms his bipolar diagnosis from a life sentence into a source of strength, using slam poetry to heal himself and inspire his community.
Oh, incredible. I just want to congratulate you on the pieces that have won awards, etc., but just on what's ahead for you, I think that that is so in incredible. How can folks get connected with you online if they want to continue to see your work?
Let me think. I am awaiting a couple of. I just got into the Singapore Film and Script Festival this year, and Berlin Liu once again won Best Actor for Common Law, and there's going to be an online screening. I also entered the film. I'll be finding out tomorrow, the 26th, whether it's going to be programmed into the Voices of Impact Film Festival, which is a mental health themed film festival. And keeping my fingers crossed, if that happens, I might be able to stream it online.
Oh, that's
or
incredible.
either see it in the cinema if there's screenings in June.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. And I know that if you do go to the Literation Festival, there is a tab that is dedicated to you where you were asked some questions that if people want to sort of connect with you that way. I do want to plug again the on June 27th at 2:30 to 3:30 at the Chinese Cultural Center, you will be featured along with Keiko Honda. I think there's Steffi Taddy, and it's going to be moderated by Tariq Malik. And it's called Courage to Write, Courage to Heal. So part of the Literation Festival, I will ensure that I put links in the show notes for that as well. Do you have a website, or like, are you on the Instagram streets or anything like
yes,
that?
Yes, I have a website under my name, kagango.ca.
Awesome.
And it's my spoken word business where I go into high schools, colleges, universities, mental health institutions to do stuff. There's an about page where there's a CV that you can curriculum vitae that you can download, which has a lot of links to my films where you can watch some of these films and trailers.
Nice.
And spoken word and stand-up comedy and different things.
Nice.
I have an Instagram account under my name, Kagango. I have LinkedIn, Kagango. I have X or Twitter, the evil.
Yes.
Yeah. Under Kagango as well. So I'm findable, that's
yes,
for sure. Yeah.
I will definitely include all the links that you could, you know, people can connect with you as well in the show notes also. And before I let you go, is there anything that you might have missed in our conversation today that you want to share?
I think, you know, in terms of the theme of Courage to Write, Courage to Heal, you know, when I was diagnosed with the devastating illness of bipolar mood disorder, for the first 14 years of my life, it was a veritable roller coaster ride through the revolving door of the psych ward. I had 12 hospitalizations, almost one a year.
Wow.
You know, a hypomanic, manic, psychotic, depressive episodes once a year. I couldn't work. I couldn't go to school. You know, it was hard to have a relationship that was stable. Friends were alienated. They would cross the street because I was a downer.
Mm-hmm.
I was sleeping 16 to 20 hours a day because of being under a chemical straitjacket or chemical lobotomy, where they try, psychiatry sometimes and doctors over-medicate prisoners and mental patients so that they are in a docile, obedient state.
Mm-hmm.
It's a form of behavioral modification, and I was slept 5 years of my life away and was a walking zombie.
Mm-hmm.
And through a series of epiphanies and realizations, you know, I recovered, you know. It wasn't overnight, but there was an awareness that came through the use of the Wellness Recovery Action Plan, which is wellness recovery, wellness strategies and crisis prevention, crisis intervention and post-crisis recovery for mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the turning point.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to school and became a mental health worker at the Cattle Friendship Society, where I used to be a client getting a dollar lunch.
Wow.
For several years. So I had been working there for the last 16 years.
Wow.
As a frontline mental health worker.
And just like that, we are at the end of the show. Next up is Democracy Now! And thank you so much for joining me, and can't wait to see you back here next week, where I'll be chatting about Sled Island.